Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very abbreviated version of Occult Spectrum. This is Jackie, and I am joined by Kat.
Good evening, everyone.
And we are apologizing for our technical difficulties earlier. I don't know what happened, but the computer switchboard didn't like either one of us, and so there were issues. But we seem to have gotten it fixed now, so thank you to the moderators who have done such a fantastic job getting us back on the air. We're going to cover an abbreviated schedule, but what we're going to do is we're going to continue talking about our past life conversation that we had started a little more than 2 weeks ago, and we're going to pick one topic and discuss it, and then we will have to finish the rest of it in another show. So we're going to start off covering an email that we had gotten from one of our fans who were asking about hereditary memories and basically, you know, what is and is not a past life memory compared to a hereditary memory. So, Kes, can you address this email, please?
Sure. So we were asked by Isabel about what we thought about the notion of hereditary memories. And if you're unfamiliar with this idea, it comes up in a lot of Jungian psychology, and it's basically the idea that there is some way that we inherit memories from our parents and our ancestors. It has to do with the notion of the collective unconscious, the idea that, you know, somewhere beyond our conscious mind, we are all dipping into the same mental pool. And one of the things in this theory is the fact that we might be pulling out memories of our ancestors, but if we don't have a context for this, we might be interpreting them as memories of us. They resurface, they don't have a context, and we think it's about us rather than something legitimately about someone down our ancestral line, be it our parent or, you know, our sixth great-great-great-great-whatever grandparent. So do you have an opinion on that, Jackie?
Well,
I know you have an opinion on everything. But
of course. You know, both of us are sitting here because we're full of opinions. We're full of something. I don't know what, but something. I do have an opinion on that. I'll be honest. I really don't know what I think about it. I have more strong feelings towards the notion that hereditary memories aren't exactly real or past life memories, because it's really hard, I think, for us to distinguish, you know, first of all, our own memories from something that our brains are filling in, as we talked about last time. For instance, I have a very strong affinity to the 1930s and 40s. However, I don't know whether or not the things that I have memories of are because I was there or because I listened to a lot of stories from my grandmother, who was born in 1913 and, you know, grew up in that time and grew up in, you know, she was an adult in the Depression and, of course, lived through the war and all of that. So, you know, it's, think it's a little confusing and a little difficult to say that hereditary memories are real when we are so exposed to so much history and the conversations of those around us, that I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we have a past life memory when what we have is a visual image of a memory of one of our relatives who has shared that with us, and perhaps we store it away in some context in our heads, wherein doing past life memory work or anything like that, that it would come to the surface perhaps in the same format or perhaps in a slightly modified format because you might be looking for something, and it would, I think, create confusion as to whether or not you were actually remembering something or just reinventing a tale from a grandparent or an aunt. I mean, you think about it. If somebody tells you a story about a war and what it was like on the battlefield, you get a very vivid memory or a very vivid image of what these people are talking about. And you might file that away in your subconscious somewhere. But then, you know, 5-10 years later, you might want to do some deliberate memory work. And you do get some memories of what you're pretty sure is a war, and it's a legitimate memory. However, your brain takes pieces of something you already have knowledge of, fills in the gaps, and creates a memory. So, I don't know, that's kind of my opinion, is I don't necessarily believe in the hereditary memories. I think that that things just tend to be told and retold and filed away and created historic records, essentially. I don't think we share a memory.
Okay. I would agree with most of that. The thing is, when you're looking at the, for lack of a better term, the case files about this,
okay,
a lot of the hereditary memories aren't necessarily what, as a historian, we'd call a living memory. Like, it's
okay,
not something that you could have heard from any living relative. They're usually a bit farther back,
mm-hmm,
which kind of obscures the idea that you might have just heard the story. Yes, you could have picked up that information another way, seeing a TV show that dealt with the time period, and then you're just reframing it with your family.
Sure.
But I haven't done any specific work with the idea of hereditary memories, but I've done a lot of work with doing, I guess you'd call it like a magical exploration of the collective unconscious.
Okay.
And there's definitely, I find, something there. So the idea that I could, or anyone could, accidentally pick up information and code it as memory, rather than, in my experiences, I was coding it as more of a scrying vision or a shamanic journey.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that context for how you're experiencing it, it would make sense for you to code that as a memory, because that's how you're used to processing information if you don't know about altered states of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What makes this a bit more confusing, and we just briefly touched on it last episode, is it's not uncommon for people to reincarnate, or apparently reincarnate, within the same bloodline. People who were their grandparents or their great-grandparents is really not unheard of. It's fairly common when you look at patterns of past lives. So then we get into that discussion again of, well, are they remembering a family memory?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is, you know, is it just a past life memory that, you know, is tracing back the family line because they reincarnated along the family line?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know how to grind and turn wheat into flour, but I'm pretty sure some of my ancestors were farmers.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I know the general concept, but I know it because I've studied a lot of history. So, I mean, is it fair to say that, you know, stuff like that could happen? Like, I saw a post on the forums, in the chat room, about animals remembering. For instance, like, we had a Australian Shepherd dog who you know, we got her from the pound and everything, and she had no knowledge, no training for herding animals, yet instinctively she was able to herd our other animals in the house and would try and herd us and could take direction like a sheepdog should be able to, knew her rights and her lefts and things like that. You know, is that hereditary memory? I'm not sure. Is that just instinctual? Is that breeding? Does it get bred in? I mean, I've had dogs that couldn't tell left from right. I've had dogs that could, you know, herd rabbits in the backyard just for funsies. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it all comes down to yes, possibly, but, in the sense of I don't disagree with the notion or the theory. I've had enough stuff that makes me think it's possible, but I don't think we can separate one from the other. It just gets too hard to figure out, you know, was the dog doing it out of an instinct, memory, training? Are we remembering things because it's in our bloodline, so to speak, because we used to be that person, because we're picking up random information from out there in some sort of psychic space?
Mm-hmm.
It gets really hard to tell. So
it's really fuzzy.
So I kind of stick with the idea of I believe it's a possibility, and I would not be surprised if a lot of past life memories are actually something else, even if they're a valid memory. But the challenge is figuring out, you know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, is it a duck, or, you know.
All right, so let's talk about what is and is not a past life memory.
Okay.
So what, in your frame of reference, constitutes an actual past life memory?
If we're looking at a basic technical definition, it would be a memory that your consciousness, your soul, whatever term you want to use, had experienced in the past, and you are calling it up now.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble is, again, where does one form of information stop and another form begin?
Mm-hmm.
So we have people who remember things, and it may not be a memory. It's like we were talking about with cryptomnesia. You see a movie about something as a child, you file it away in the back of your mind, and then 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, you see something that reminds you of that movie, and all of a sudden you're remembering all this stuff.
Right.
And it's like, again, it's just this fuzzy line of what it is.
So I think the question we should ask then is, you know, how do we tell what is and is not a past life memory, as opposed to specifically defining what it is? Because I do agree with you that what it is something that we as a past person did. And because we are not just, you know, a one-use soul, which, by the way, that was Kipling who said that poem the last time of Why Should He Squander Souls, that, you know, it's a fantastic idea that, you know, you are not just a one-use soul. You are not, you know, your body is not necessarily, you know, how you've always been, but your soul is eternal. It's not destroyed. It changes shape because that's what energy does. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It changes shape. So, you know, if you become a large collective unconscious, like, You are a larger energy source. Your soul is connected to you and in your body. And when you die and go back, or when you have memories, you're just accessing the other pieces of yourself that had been you.
Okay, so in that, you had asked about the idea of how do you tell, how do you know? And we had some, we talked a bit last time about verifying past life memories through other people, and how you really have to be careful with that, not giving them the information up front that you, you know, should write it down.
Oh God, and it's incredibly difficult. Yeah.
And all that. But we did miss something, which I want to talk about, and someone had brought up in the chat, actually, is they mentioned, I'm sorry, I forget who it was in the chat, they remembered something, and it came with the names of the places that were involved, and these were obscure villages in, like, the Middle East, not something the average North American child is going to know. But they had the names of these places and eventually found out that these places existed.
Right.
And I have similar things. I'm very information-based in my thought processing, so a lot of my past life memories have language involved, words involved, and these have allowed me some of my most, for lack of a better term, like terrifying verifications where I remember a specific name for someone in, you know, an obscure area of, I'm just like pulling out stuff here, Southeast Asia, and then I go and grab, you know, an English to Cambodian dictionary or whatever, and, you know, find their name or find a reference to their hometown and stuff that they wouldn't, that you shouldn't have any way of knowing.
Right.
So you can verify past life memories with research through textual resources. But like verifying a past life memory with a person, you have to be careful about it. Say if I remembered a past life memory in 17th century France, and I remembered the name of a village I was in. So I go and I try to find out what I can about this village. Every piece of information I find on the way, what the economy was like at the time, how peasants lived, what the
religion... It fills in the gaps.
Yeah. So any memory, I'd put that in quotes, any memory I have after that, I can't trust. Because I could have accidentally learnt something in researching this name.
Well, that's where I was getting to with, like, my grandmother. I, you know, I really love the 30s and 40s. Why? Was it because of her stories or because I have legitimate memories? I don't know, because everything is so blurred on that end, and I haven't been able to find a memory that I can't immediately discount because of her stories.
Okay.
So I don't know, you know, that it's really hard. I mean, this is where I've tried very hard to not do too much research whenever I am working with past life memories. I just like to sort of file it away and not look into the area and not look into the situation too much, because otherwise I ruin the experience. I color the experience, and then how do I ever know? Is it true or is it not? I mean, we can talk about how we remember, like, what makes a past life memory different from this life, and it's really hard to define, because I know some people are probably sitting out there going, well, I might have had a past life memory, but how do I know? You know, what is it like? And I gotta say, it's gonna be different for everyone. What we can say, I think for sure, is that past life memories tend to follow the same pattern as present life memories.
I'd agree with that. Like, again, I don't know if it applies to everyone.
Not necessarily, yeah.
But at least my experience and a lot of people I work with, the structure, the form or format of our past life memories are the same as our memories from this time around. So if you're a person with very visual memories, your past life memories are going to be very visual.
Which mine are.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing with some of my past life memories is that some of them are just very visual, and, you know, I'll see the scene in my head, and it's usually only a couple of seconds. We're not talking past life memories that play out like a movie in your head with surround sound and stereo. That doesn't happen all the time. For me, that happens more in dream state and it's less of a movie and more like reliving everything with full color and sound and things like that. When I have a memory while I'm awake and just sort of, you know, working on it, or even not working on it, when I just, you know, something will just suddenly occur to me because I've been triggered by something. It is sometimes only just a few flashes of the scene, maybe literally less than 10 seconds worth. It's usually accompanied by a bunch of information that I didn't have previously and can't account for where the hell this information came from. And it's not like I'm having a conversation in that memory. You know, it could be as simple as me bending over to pick up a wicker basket full of grain or something like that. But something about that is filled with information that I wouldn't have previously had. And by and large, that's what it is. I have had a number of past life memories that were incredibly traumatic and full of not just information, but a ton of emotion attached to it, just wrenching emotion that was absolutely terrible to have to relive. And so those memories, it's almost like PTSD or something. You know, you just, the memory comes with full color, bigger scenes, lots of emotions, lots of information that couldn't have come from anything I knew. And the problem with those memories, the problem and the good thing with those memories is that those hit like a ton of bricks. It's really hard to discount them. And the emotion just hits you in a way that the memory feels like it has just happened. Not that it happened 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, that it just happened yesterday, and that you relive that. And I think that those memories, I think, are more true and a lot harder to discount, the ones that you don't so much remember as relive. Have you had memories like that?
I've had them all around the gambit. So yeah, So I've had the ones where it's the almost slow, traumatic reliving, but also just lots of very short fragments, like you were saying. Like, it's rarely, a memory rarely pops in with enough information for you to figure out what's going on. It's usually a quick snippet of information, of understanding what's going on. And then it's only with occasionally getting more stuff or trying to tease it out, so to speak, that I actually start to get enough information to work with, to verify, to find anything of use from, rather than, did I just see myself going up the stairwell?
Mm-hmm.
Well, gee, that's an exciting memory, isn't it? Where am I? I don't know. It's stairs. But yeah, sometimes, you know, a past life memory is disconnected in the sense that you experience it, but you're not that involved with it. And then other times it's that you're going to collapse to the ground for a moment because that just hit right through you because it was so vivid, so real, so strong, really.
Right. Right. So very difficult, I think, to distinguish. I mean, there's certainly some markers that help distinguish it better, and the fact that it's going to be, I think, radically different from a regular scene in your own head. I mean, I think you can tell the difference by and large between an actual memory and perhaps, you know, something that you like replaying a movie in your head and thinking the movie scene is actually a past life memory. I think you can pretty much tell the difference because there's generally just so much more information that comes with an actual past life memory than just with... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know how much I can agree with that, though.
Oh, okay.
just because our mind is excellent at pulling out and making up random things.
Okay.
So there might be a few things that we can tell a memory from something else, but I think we have an amazing ability to pull the wool over our eyes, so to speak.
Oh, God, yes.
Whether it be because that memory is so fully formed.
Or because
clear,
we want it to be true.
That's
so
what I was
going to
get to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the fact that a memory might either terrify us, like horrify us so much that we'd assume there's no reason we could think of, you know, killing a cat, you know, by slamming it against a wall. You know, we'd think, there's no reason I could think of that unless I actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe it out of your own revulsion, or the opposite. You believe it because it's something that you want to be true for some way, for some reason or another. It's a memory of you being with someone, or you being somewhere awesome, or you being someone awesome. And you want it to be true, and we're just really good at pulling that wool over our eyes and tricking ourselves because we want this.
I do think that the hardest memories to deal with, not necessarily even to verify, although those are hard too, but to deal with, are the memories that are in complete contradiction with who we are as people today.
Yes.
That the act of killing something or of going against what we would consider our morals today, to have a memory of doing something that we, as we are now, consider revolting or repulsive, or completely against our social norm. Those are the hardest to accept, the hardest to put into context, and the hardest to make peace with.
Yes.
But we are, unfortunately, out of time. We'll have to get back into this in our next show. I do want to tell everybody that Kath and I now have a Facebook page for Occult Spectrum. You can just go to Facebook and type in Occult Spectrum, and our show will come up as a news / fan page, or whatever it is Facebook calls them now, community page. We will be posting announcements there of next show episodes. And if people have questions in between shows, you can post your questions there. You can also let us know if you liked something, didn't like something, whatever it is you want to tell us or ask us, or if you have suggestions for future show topics. We did have an email recently from a listener who would like us to do some Halloween episodes. So we will certainly consider that. But we very much thank you for your patience as we struggle with those technical difficulties. And we hope you enjoyed the show tonight, and we'll continue to listen in.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.